Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, next Wednesday, the neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny will give a talk at his alma mater, Maynooth University. And that date, October the 8th, has a very special significance for him. 12 years before, on October the 8th, he began his recovery from heroin addiction. Brian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Tell us how you became an addict in the first instance.
Oh, I think that's important to recognise, because I didn't have an addiction problem per se. It was a symptom of an underlying problem, which was trauma, anxiety and panic attacks. So I was really medicating, I was numbing, I was self-soothing. It was just challenges I faced in my earlier life, and that really drove the addiction.
Yeah, what kind of challenges?
The challenge, I had an operation as a baby without a general anaesthetic. It was a...
Whoa!
Yes, it was a practice pre-1985. People are quite shocked by that. It was based on weak neurological evidence from the 1940s, where they believed that infants didn't experience pain like normal adults. They got it wrong.
And what were they operating for?
So I had a problem called intestinal malrotation. So my intestines were twisted. So they had to open me up and put my intestines back in the right order. But I was awake for the surgery.
My, and how old would you have been then?
I was only a couple of weeks old. So they obviously believed, like, infants aren't going to remember the operation. And I don't remember the operation.
Yeah.
But the body keeps the scar. Even right now, like, I feel a little bit of an urge just to rub that scar over 45 years later. So trauma leaves an imprint on our bodies. Like, it literally leaves us hypervigilant, hypersensitive. And I grew up with a lot of sensitivities, I suppose, and anxiety.
Yeah, so as you grew up, there were probably all sorts of issues, but nobody had thought to trace it back to that point.
Funnily enough, like, I really did keep it a secret. Like, I had an absolute pleasure of doing a bit of work with Dr. Gabor Maté recently. So he's like a world leader with trauma and addiction. And he pointed out something to me that I wasn't really aware of, that the greatest trauma was that I was all alone, because I didn't share my fears and I lived with it myself. I wouldn't admit to myself I struggled mentally, never mind telling me parents or anyone else. So it was something I just really lived with myself and just struggled internally.
Yeah. So, the progression onto heroin, was it a progression onto heroin or was it, whoa, this is working for me?
Yeah, no, it was a progression. Like, we start smoking hash, start drinking alcohol, taking tablets, and they all gave me a sense of ease, a sense of relief. And we were big Jim Morrison fans. We were big into the Doors, and Jim had a mantra, try everything once. So he says, okay, Jim, we'll try heroin once. And it took me to a place. It just took all of my anxieties away. I had developed this intense bodily agitation. I had a fear of my heartbeat, my chest, my pulse, my inner body. And it just made everything feel soft and okay. And it was just like, it took me to heaven, but quickly took me to hell. Like,
yeah.
It took me to hell very, very quickly.
What effect did it have in your life after that, after your first time?
It was a grind, to be quite honest. Like, I believed, I was good in school. I got a job and I believed I sort of found a secret. So I kind of lived in two worlds, my internal world of pain and heroin use and the outer world. I tried to make sure to everyone else that I was okay. But slowly over time, throughout my 20s, it really just grounded me down and I ended up losing my job, losing everything. And I just became, I suppose, what you might call stereotypical, if that's even a thing, you know.
And did you try to give it up more than once? Or
no, I fundamentally had a belief that I can't cope with anxiety. So I always believed I needed some kind of drugs. Now, in 2007, I tried to get off heroin. But I believed, well, I'll just take benzodiazepine and sleeping tablets, thinking I was drug-free because I wasn't doing heroin. But it didn't really work. And it was only in 2013 when everything just turned against me. The drugs it was like a snake trying to eat its own tail. It was just making my mental health worse, not better. So I'd lost my job. I lost everything and I had to do something different.
Yeah. So when you went into recovery, obviously, the heroin isn't there, but were the underlying issues still there?
So I had what I can only describe as a near-death experience, a grand mal convulsive seizure. And within that, I remember I was in hospital thinking I was brain damaged, so broken mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. But I had this moment of surrender where I stopped fighting my anxiety. I stopped resisting reality. And I fundamentally believe that shift, something within that surrender, acceptance and letting go, something changed. And something big changed in that moment. But It was slow before the anxiety completely left me to a certain extent. Mm. But I think something to do with the talk I'm doing next week as well, it was like I put my dopamine hooks from heroin into education. Because when I went to the detox facility to get off heroin, I start talking about my emotions for the first time. I start reading books about psychology, self-awareness, Eastern philosophy. I start meditating for the first time. And I was bitten by the bug of life and education and these concepts I never heard about. So it was like I swapped me dopamine hooks into education, and it just took me off on this journey.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, you did your undergraduate degree in Maynooth, and then Trinity's where you did
the PhD.
Your
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And today, can you drink? Can you take any drugs at all? Are you are you worried about that? You know, there might be a slippery slope kind
yeah,
of thing.
Not at all. So, like, it's I wouldn't say it's controversial per se, but I don't consider myself in recovery. I consider myself recovered.
Okay.
Because I have completely changed my relationship with anxiety. It's a very strange thing to say for someone whose kryptonite was anxiety, but I enjoy anxiety today. It's nearly become my friend, my teacher. And even the talk next week I have in Maynooth, it's called Beyond Resilience. So it's not being resilient and holding firm when anxiety rocks up. It's like using the adversity as the fuel to learn and grow. So if I get anxious, and anxiety is just data, it's just information, potential danger. So that's a cue for me, right? Use a breathing technique or do something to navigate that challenge. So challenges now are the fuel to learn and grow for me.
Yeah, but when you feel anxiety now, are you able to say, well, I'm feeling anxiety because this has happened or is about to happen?
Yeah, and I would usually, like, let's say, like, I do a lot of public speaking. So I was over in Oxford there last week. I was speaking with Bessel van der Kolk, Esther Perel, like world-renowned experts in their field. And it was in Oxford, big university, big crowds, and obviously naturally anxious. Yeah, you're going to be, I have to put in a performance, I have to show up and bring what I bring to the table, yeah. You know? And obviously there's anxieties there, but I just allow it to be there. I can regulate my heart rate through breathing techniques. So I have toolboxes that allow me to navigate those challenges, things I hadn't got before. So my beliefs have changed. My belief now is that, not that I can't cope, my belief is I have a toolbox and I'm going to let this pass and regulate my physiological arousal. Hey,
and for everyone who enters addiction and then leaves addiction, are the reasons always different? Are they peculiar to that particular person and their circumstances?
Yeah. The entry point into addiction, there's obviously generic things like trauma can play a role, poverty can play a role, lack of resources, all of these things play a role. But addiction knows no boundaries. Like, we see people from all walks of life getting addicted. So there's lots of entry points into addiction and there's lots of exit points. There's lots of ways to get into recovery or be recovered per se. So it really is dependent on the person.
Yeah. Brian, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. As we said, that talk is October the 8th. It's also to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Department of Psychology at Maynooth University. That was Dr. Brian Penny there, neuroscientist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.